Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, quite a lineup of rolling here. We'll go to Miami in a moment and talk with Malcolm Moran about Alabama Notre Dame. Next half hour, Patrick Chambers on tonight's showdown with Indiana. You'll hear it at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Network Sporting News tomorrow. Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network on Wednesday. Greg Cosell from the NFL Network to preview the playoffs on Friday. Next week, Tim Brando will be on the show. And in 2 weeks, Patrick McEnroe. And we've been told that before the month's out, in 3 weeks, Jim Delaney will join us on the show. So you wanted to write it down?
Yeah, you still went too fast, but that's all right. I got the back half now. I'm good to go.
Oh, the Greg Cosell parts, the parts that you, like, perked your ears up.
Actually, you know what? I'm looking forward to Brando and Rever, to be quite honest. Not that any of the others are chumps. I don't mean that.
And you have the janitor at Shikellamy that you lined up as well. We're looking forward to that on Monday. Should be great. You wanted big-time guests on the show.
It's great.
You know,
I love Rever.
Allegedly, when I signed up on this thing, you wanted name guests. Well, you know.
I said, you're going to have to bring it. This is the big time now.
You know, long-time listener, first-time caller on Friday, and now this.
I'm hoping he becomes a second-time caller someday soon.
Oh, he will, but not in the next few weeks. He has to recruit.
He might be a little busy in the next few weeks.
All right, let's go down to an area of the country and bring in Malcolm Moran, an area of the country where I believe they have 87% humidity. I mean, 87% humidity?
13% of the time.
Yeah, well, guess what, you know? I'm looking out here. There's about a foot of snow here. You know, we felt it was like we had a warming trend. It got to 37. So, you know, you could take your 87% humidity. And
Well, no, here's how bizarre human nature is. You know, like I was counting the days until I wouldn't have to, you know, walk in the snow. And then you get here and you wake up and you look out the window and you say, you know, these clouds are unacceptable. Like, I'm not paying this hotel bill to look at clouds. Like, what's going on here?
It's an outrage.
No, I am just happy to be here.
I'll bet you are. give us an idea down there, the build-up to this, because this is going to be the 35th bowl game. People watched a lot of football in the last month. Is there an excitement around this because of the brand names that maybe you haven't seen for other championship games?
Yes, unquestionably. And part of it is the brand names. Part of it is the, you know, unprecedented Notre Dame absence from a game like this, from stakes like this. Now, I'm almost certain that this past year, before they became number one, it was the first time since the AP poll began in 1936 that a freshman beginning classes at Notre Dame was not alive when the Irish were number one. At no point, the last time was the 93 season, going into that BC game after they beat Florida State in the 1-2 game. From 93 until this past fall, Notre Dame had never been number one. And so this is an unprecedented leap in the lifetime of Domers. So the estimate that I heard from Miami Beach Police for the pep rally yesterday was 40,000 people at the pep rally.
Wow.
Try driving around those streets.
Yeah, I don't think so. Malcolm, have you seen a difference in demeanor between Alabama players who have been through this versus Notre Dame players who have not?
Outwardly, no. And no, I don't know what's going on inside. I think part of that is because the nature of the Notre Dame season and the high wire escape acts that they've pulled. I mean, they've been in high profile prime time pressure games a bunch of times. Now, I'm not saying that's like a national championship game, but I don't think that the difference in experience in playing for these stakes is quite as great as people are making it out to be. I mean, it seems to be overwhelming. You look at the leadership of somebody like a Manti Te'o, who is just so impressive. I mean, there are two players in this game that were among the scholar athletes honored by the National Football Foundation at the dinner at the Waldorf last month. Barrett Jones won the Campbell Trophy, which is like the academic Heisman. Mm-hmm. And I was on the selection committee, and his off-field credentials, starting with the 4.0 average, jumped off the page. And so, you've got the leadership of somebody like a Jones or a Te'o. This is both groups have been extremely impressive in their demeanor, how they're handling things. I mean, you've heard enough people say knucklehead things in bowl weeks. Not that that makes them bad people, because it makes for interesting stories. But, I mean, both groups have really distinguished themselves with their maturity this week.
Are they reflections of their head coaches based on the personalities you see at the podium from Brian Kelly and Nick Saban?
It's hard to because so much of this is, surface level stuff. I mean, out of necessity because of the demand. It's really hard to tell beneath the surface what the personalities of the coaches really are. I mean, in terms of the working relationship, I mean, Saban seems to be much, much more into the whole mindset thing and how to influence that. Kelly, if you talk to the Notre Dame beat guys, Kelly seems to have been able to control his emotions and sideline demeanor much more. I mean, you saw the last couple of years some pretty unusual outbursts. Getting in quarterback's faces. And it seems like he's grown into the role. I mean, I've spent enough time around there on a day-to-day basis. I mean, there really is no job quite like it. And people forget, I mean, this is only his third season there. And I think it might have taken him a little time to grow into that role. So it's hard to tell if they're products of the coaches' personalities or if they're product of a culture created by the coach. And I don't mean to play a semantics game, but, I mean, it's more like, I mean, each team has an organizational structure that, that breeds certain mindsets and certain responsibility and accountability. And I think the players were a reflection of that.
Because of the distance between each team's last game, is this always as unpredictable a game as you see?
Early on, it can be. I would expect that if you're looking at a quarterback that might be affected by the extent of the break, it might affect an Everett Golson more than it would affect an A.J. McCarron, who's been through the process more. McCarron's done this before. That's where the experience in being in these kind of bright lights might make a difference here and there early. But once people settle in, I don't know that would be a huge factor.
You've covered a lot of big events.
I was very young when I started.
I know you were.
Wanted to throw that
no,
in
no,
there.
No, you're
not that old.
No, you're a child prodigy. I know that. where does this rank for you? I don't mean just the Alabama-Notre Dame game, but the BCS National Championship, where they've been trying to promote this for years. For you on your scale, where does it fall? Near the top, in the middle, near the bottom? Where does it fall for you in terms of being around it compared to some of the other events that you have been around so often in your career?
It's a good question, and I think the way I can describe where I look at this now, and it has more to do with what's around it than the game itself. And I covered 11 Super Bowls in a 12-year period from 1980 through 1991, from Steelers-Rams in Pasadena through Giants-Bills in Tampa. And it just seems like the drumbeat, the hype around this game, the fact that every time you turned on ESPN for the last month, practically, you see promos for it. It's really, I think, it's close to, if not exceeding, the level of what the Super Bowl was in that period from 1980 through the early 90s. I mean, I would expect, now we're not talking about network broadcast numbers, but I think in terms of the history of cable ratings, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we're breaking through some thresholds tonight, just because you've got different parts of the country. You've got the brands, as you mentioned. You know how, like, when you're immersed in an event, you tend to lose perspective of what's going on out there a little bit. I mean, last year there was all this excitement about LSU-Alabama in town, but what we tended to overlook is that somebody in Seattle really didn't care. I mean, people in Seattle care about this game, and I think that's what makes it different.
Okay. The amount of media down there, how in terms of the numbers, and, you know, and media's changed. I mean, this is not the media of the Super Bowl that you covered from 80 to 91, because that was television, that was radio, that was, you named the newspaper, and they were there with multiple columnists and so forth. What's it like now in terms of volume and also type of media?
Much more of an electronic presence, infinitely more of a digital presence, and the numbers. And some friends of mine that are involved in the communications committee were telling me that they were startled when they looked at the declining circulation figures for a lot of well-known print publications, and the rising digital numbers of prominent websites such as ESPN.com and Yahoo, that has changed the landscape even since the last time this game was here, you know, the last time around in the cycle at the end of the 08 season. I mean, you've got people from digital sites that are occupying, you know, high-end seats in the main press box, and people at prominent newspapers that are kind of off in the auxiliary box because their circulation figures don't compete the way they used to. Now, I know that's a certain amount of inside baseball, but there's much more of an electronic presence. It's much, much, much harder to get anybody alone, where, like, even 10, 15 years ago, like, you could wait out a group session, and if you had a question you wanted to ask by yourself because you didn't want to tip off the insight you had, I mean, it was fairly easy to do it. Now it's much harder. And you've got people tweeting answers as soon as they come out of somebody's mouth.
Well, I'll give you an example, Malcolm. I covered the 1986 National Championship game between Penn State and Oklahoma. And even though I was the third announcer of the Penn State Sports Network at the time, I could not get a pass to the game. For example, the Wall Street Journal got, I think, two or three. I was able to work the game because I worked with NBC Radio with Bob Murphy and Howard Schnellenberger. That's how I was in. That's how I was in. I mean, that's how dramatically different it is now.
Well, man, let me tell you something about that game that shows how things have changed. I was at the Times at that point, and I found out that Oklahoma was going to be going to Miami on like December 19th or 20th,
yeah.
I mean, which was way early by the standards of the time. So I convinced the editors to send me down then and then come home for the holidays and then go back for the, you know, the usual bowl week buildup. Well, you know, the Oklahoma people said, sure, you can come to practice. And so I get into practice. There are like four or five media people there. Switzer is crouched down like a catcher, smoking a cigarette,
mm-hmm.
like dragging on a cigarette, kind of surveying all these different drills. And, I mean, it was clear, like, you could see, I mean, part of the CEO role was, this was the quality control guy. And if he saw something they didn't like, he would jog over and then, you know, run a drill. But, like, you could see how they made the sausage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, like, you know, you get in for the first 15 minutes so the electronic types can shoot people stretching, you know, and then they chase you out. And I remember that week with Oklahoma, seeing this guy that was hurt, who was just throwing a football in shorts.
Yeah, Troy Aikman.
Well, exactly. And he was so impressive, even in shorts on the side,
yeah.
that I wrote about him. And I had Penn State friends telling me, like, why are you writing about some Oklahoma guy that's not even going to be in this game? And I think I said something like, check back with me.
Yeah.
I mean, check back in a while. I think this guy's going to be all right. Not in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, it was supposed to be Marcus Dupree and Troy Aikman in the same backfield.
Right.
But I think it worked out for him.
Yeah, I think it worked out for him, too. Hey, Malcolm.
But, I mean, the point is you could see those things and generate all kinds of insight and ideas at the time.
Oh, I did Penn State Oklahoma basketball that year 3 weeks before the game. So I said to the Oklahoma people, do you mind if I go over and get some interviews with some of the Oklahoma players after the SMU football game? Oh, sure. I got one-on-ones with everybody. I mean, one-on-ones, Malcolm. I mean, everybody. From Bosworth to Switzer. I even had Switzer on the talk show, for goodness sakes. I'll never forget the first call I got in the talk show. The guy called up and says, I can't believe I'm talking to Barry Switzer. I think, yeah, that's the way it goes. That's the way it works. Hey, Malcolm, thanks so much. Enjoy the game tonight. It's always great hearing from you.
Anytime. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that merry-go-round continues.
And enjoy the hoops tonight. It should be interesting.
It should be interesting. Appreciate it. Thanks, Malcolm.
Anytime.
That's Malcolm Moran from Miami.
It was nice of him to remember your birthday.
Yeah. So about 300 other people. My email's been blowing up all day.
People love you. That's the whole point. You just don't like birthdays.
If you insist.
You just don't like birthdays. You call me Mr. Cranky.
I'm not cranky. Jeez. I was cranky. We wouldn't get some of the guests we get. Or was that cranky? Yeah, what the heck? Patrick Chambers next half hour.
Are you going to make your pick for the BCS game before the program ends?
Yeah, Notre Dame. I did it how many weeks ago?
Well, I just wondered if it changed, and for those that may have missed it.
Notre Dame.
Do you want to go with the score, too?
I don't do scores.
I have a 24-20 Notre Dame.
Do you? That's good. You're still way behind on the scoreboard thing, aren't you?
I'm three games back.
Yeah, I went 4-for-4 in the playoffs. That had to kill you.
Yeah, that was. I was making up ground, and then I fell.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't pick the Ravens. I mean, I was rooting for Sarah, who's a Ravens fan. I wasn't rooting for the Ravens, I'll put it that way. But I was happy that they won for Sarah.
No, I'm happy they won for Sarah, too.
That's all I was happy for.
Yeah. Well, all right. We'll come back with more today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price and another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. SunburyMotors.com. The winning team.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you on board. Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Network Sporting News tomorrow. Dave Revson Wednesday. Greg Cosell, NFL Network on Friday. Next week, Tim Brando. 2 weeks, Patrick McEnroe from the Australian Open. 3 weeks, Jim Delaney, the Big Ten Commissioner. That's what we have for you. Hope it's good enough. Kevin quit.
No, I'm still here.
No. Oh.
It's my birthday present to you. I'm not going to say anything for a few minutes.
Oh.
Of all the things I could give you, I figured that would be the best.
I'll tell you right now, suddenly I know there's a smile on my face. Earlier, I had a chance to talk to... excuse me. I had a chance to talk to Patrick Chambers about tonight's matchup with Indiana and... talked about this team, which at one point had been number one in the nation going into last week's game, number one in fewest offensive rebounds given up, and they gave up 13 against Wisconsin. So with that in mind, they went to work.
The point is we worked on taking care of the ball. We put our guards in situations where they could make better, more simpler decisions, more sound decisions, and we worked on our rebounding. You know, something that 13 offensive rebounds is far too many, especially on the road. And you got a team like Indiana who's very big and long and athletic coming in here. We have to take care of the glass. So we had two very, inspiring practices. And again, it's a journey. It's a marathon. Will we see tonight? I'm not sure. But as long as we continue to get better and we continue on the right path, I'll be satisfied.
In fact, you had gone into the Wisconsin game number one in the nation in fewest rebounds offensively given up. Reinforcing habits, was that part of it?
No question. I mean, you got Bergeron, you got Brusewitz, you got Evans, you got Brust. You got four guys who really rebound the basketball. And what happened was they got us in rotations. And when you get in rotations, that's when you get in trouble. That's when you kind of lose a man, and then you don't find a body, and you don't do a good job on the glass.
You battled back to within one in a game that you were down by 14 at one stage. Seeing this for 40 minutes and making them believe for 40 minutes they can play, how difficult is that part for you?
It's a challenge. I mean, usually in huddles you want to write stuff up and you want to call plays and you want to tell guys where they need to be, but it's more of a, you're in huddles and you're motivating and you're inspiring and you're telling them, yo, you deserve to be on this floor, you deserve to be here. And I think they started to believe it as the game went along, you saw, you know, their attitude change, the energy change. We started making some shots, we got stops, we turned them over. You know, there was a lot of positives to be taken from the game. And we got to execute a little bit better. We got to take care of the ball. We got to do those little things. But hopefully you'll see that as we approach, you know, middle of January into February.
Nick leads this team with 44 dives. Jermaine has 50 deflections. You see things like that. But there's a drop-off after that. Yeah. I mean, to get other guys playing that same way, how much would that help this team if you had
a battle at the top for dives. You had a battle at the top for deflections.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We talked about our attitude club stats after the game, and I showed guys played 30 minutes and only have 12 attitude points. Guys played 34 minutes and you only have 15 attitude points. And that's not going to get it done. You know, we need to get 4 or 5 game goals. We need to get a ton of attitude points each guy, and a 15 attitude, you know, something special is happening.
This team likes to take the pedal and ram it through the floor, basically. Give me an idea of pace, what Penn State needs pace-wise. Let's talk from the Penn State point of view.
You know, we have to do a good job of – we can't milk the clock. Look, we don't get great shots milking the clock. No. Well, DJ is more effective running at a good pace. We're not flying up the floor like they run on makes and misses. We have to pick and choose when to run. And we have to pick and choose when to really slow it down and churn some clock. Because, you know, last 5 minutes of the game, when we're trying to churn clock, that's when we turn it over. We're not doing a good enough job, and he's not there yet, but he's getting there. So we just got to be really intelligent in our approach today, pick and choose when we're going to run and pick and choose when we're going to slow it down.
Is one of those you play possession by possession, or do you try to play the four-minute game?
You know what? You got to go possession by possession. We got to win more possessions than them. If we get to a four-minute game, that means we're down. And I don't want to be down. So we're going to go after it. We played them very well last year for 20, for 25, for 30. On the road, we're winning at halftime. We've done some good things. Could have beat them here. You know, gave up too many threes. So I think, you know, hopefully we come in with some confidence that we can compete.
Coach, thanks. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, buddy.
Patrick Chambers, his thoughts on Indiana tonight. This is one of the elite basketball teams, obviously, that they will be playing tonight. And so... And it's Dollar Dog Night, which means Kevin will consider going. We bring in Dave. A Final Four possibility in Indiana or Dollar Dog Night. Kevin's like, really? There's a dollar for a dog?
I'm there, baby.
Dave Paulson, who appreciates the basketball part of it. Dave, welcome.
Well, thank you, but if there's a Dollar Dog Night within an hour's drive, I might have to drive over.
See? You and I can carpool.
We could carpool, Kevin. I was like, my ears like just perked up. Dollar Dog Night, yeah, it'd probably be a pretty good game, but I live in my little bubble, so I'm guessing Indiana's at Penn State tonight?
Yeah, Indiana's here tonight, yeah.
Oh, wow. Gee, that would be worth driving over for, especially the Dollar Dogs, but... I didn't even realize they were playing. That's kind of my little tunnel I live in.
Well, you know what? And I understand that because it's an all-consuming job. Let's talk about Missouri for a moment. Penn State's going to see what is, they say, the fifth-ranked team in the country. You saw the 12th-ranked team in the country in their place, and you took them to the wire. Talk about how that played out and where the benefits are going to be for Bucknell because of it.
Well, you know, we really played well, first of all, Steve. We really played with a level of toughness on the defensive end and the offensive end. Our guys were really focused to execute a game plan. They're very, very good in transition, and we really slowed them down and kept the tempo at our pace. They're the number one rebounding team. They were the number one rebounding team in America, and we out-rebounded them. We had some timely baskets. So there are a lot of positives. That being said, you know, we had an opportunity to win the game, and we've got a veteran group, and we've got to win a game like that. So, you know, a lot of people are kind of patting our guys on the back and saying, hey, great job. And there's a part of it that is good, but, you know, we didn't go there for a moral victory. We needed to win one of those games. You know, down the road, what it's going to do for us is hopefully it's going to let us know, A, that we can play with anyone in the country, but, B, that a missed free throw here or a missed layup there is the difference between, you know, making a name for ourselves and winning a game against a marquee program, and the difference between that and going home and saying, boy, we came really close.
I want to get to the moral victory part because, again, because of the labeling, Missouri is labeled, Bucknell is labeled, okay? You're a basketball coach with a basketball team that has won some games in other people's places, Arizona being an example. To impart to them that what they did the other night wasn't good enough, what does that mean to you as a coach?
Well, just to let them know, our guys know that, you know, it's not so much about Phil Pressey or whoever it is we're going against. It's about us and us executing. Now, the competition makes it harder, but not impossible to do what we're supposed to do. And we'll look back, and we really played well defensively against a really offensively talented team. But we shot the ball poorly from the free throw line. We had a couple more turnovers than we normally have. We missed a couple chippies. And that's the difference between victory and defeat.
Saturday, you begin the second season of the year, and that is the Patriot League season. To invest them now fully mentally into this part of the challenge, what's that going to take?
Well, the first thing is for us to get healthy. We have a stomach bug that is running rampant, so to speak, through the team. So what we thought was going to be a really productive, you know, we've got a week without a game, and, you know, the best laid plans, we're going to really be able to compete and get after each other for a few days, which we haven't been able to do in a while with all the games, and be able to put in a wrinkle here and a wrinkle there offensively and defensively. That went out the window when we didn't even have enough guys to practice today. So that's the first thing, is just getting our guys healthy. And then understanding that we're going to get everyone's best shot. You know, and we saw that where we nearly escaped beating a Marist team that played phenomenal basketball, and then the very next night out scored 43 points. You know, we saw far and away the best effort of the year by Princeton. You know, we're going to get everyone's best effort, and that we have to play with an edge and an attention to detail every single possession. And especially when you get in conference play, every possession has even more value to it. Mm.
The Army basketball team that I saw in 2008 versus the Army basketball team that I saw a couple of weeks ago in 2012 is dramatically different in terms of their offensive pace. They really try to ramp it up. How important will pace be in your game when you play them Saturday?
Well, pace will be really important. And I haven't, you know, I'm very, just in the preliminary stages of watching Army. We're kind of one game at a time and really focusing on our team at this point. But just looking at their stats and my assistant coach who's done the preliminary scouting, they play at an extremely high pace and they shoot a ton of threes. And it's going to be really important for us because we're a team, with any team in the country, really, you know, we get more stuff inside probably than most teams. We get to the foul line more than most teams at any level, but certainly in our league, we have a decided advantage inside. And so we need to make sure that the game is played at our pace and at our style, that it's an inside-out game, not an outside-in game.
Mike Muscala is a marked man. On every scouting report, he's going to be the first guy that everybody circles. Yet he continues to consistently put up numbers that win games for you. What does that tell you about his character, that even though he understands that there is a target on him, he still plays at a level that is worthy of Mike Muscala?
Well, he's just a relentless competitor, and that might be the best thing about him. He wants to win so badly. He wants to attack. He wants to get better. He's a sponge for coaching. You know, today, because we were limited in numbers, we just did an intensive skill workouts with our guys, and we did some shooting competitions. And then we ended with a free throw contest, and you got a bonus point for a swish and as opposed to just making a free throw. And we set it up in brackets. And, boy, he wanted to win so badly the free throw competition. He wanted to win every shooting competition. And that's kind of the intensity he brings every night out. And when your best player is doing that, it's pretty hard for the other guys not to follow suit.
Dave, finally, before I let you go here, because I know you've got many other things to do, and we appreciate the time you're giving us. We know that C.J. McCollum did get hurt. He'd be back in time, obviously, for the Patriot League tournament. But still, for the league itself, to have him out, and I don't mean the race. I'm talking about the national image of the league. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, it's just a shame because he is a phenomenal player and a phenomenal competitor, and you really just applaud a kid who had a chance to be a draft choice, whether it be first or second, we don't know, who came back to improve his game, to try to take his team back in the NCAA tournament, to get his degree, you know, everything that a young man should be about in the college game but is often lacking. So, you know, I really was disappointed and upset when I heard the news. because he, you know, he's as good as there is out there, and that's great for our league. And secondly, to be very honest with you, Steve, we want to beat, you know, every night I think about our Lehigh defeat last year in the Patriot League Championship game. There's not a day goes by where that doesn't motivate me. So we really, really want to beat Lehigh, and I really want to beat Lehigh at its full strength. And then the third part of it is that our league was, and I haven't been around here that long, but certainly getting more attention this year than in my five previous years at Bucknell because of CJ and because of Mike Muscala, because of our team's success and their team's success. You know, last year for us to beat Arizona the NIT and then to do us one better the next day and beat Duke in the NCAA tournament really brought a level of credibility and respect to our league.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much, and best of luck on Saturday.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. What a year they've had so far. Now they head into the critical part of the schedule. That is the regular season schedule of the Patriot League, which, of course, will be all important in determining postseason seedings. We'll come back with more. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Hilstrup's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Brought to you by Hilstrup's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. And, of course, we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz, 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Monday. Penn State, Indiana tonight. I think Michigan's the best team in the Big Ten. I think Indiana is 1B. Why do I think Michigan's the best? Because I think they're the one team in the league that actually can beat you in every facet of the game. Indiana's a team where defensively they're good, but they're not great defensively. They try to beat you by constantly pouring the ball at you. Let's go to Judy in Sunbury. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Steve. Hi, I just wanted to share this with you. We have a very close friend who is from Missouri. My husband and he were in the service together, and we've remained very close friends. Good. He called last evening. He was at the Missouri game and Bucknell game, and he said that was one of the most phenomenal games he has ever seen in his life. He said it was just fantastic. And he is a huge basketball fan.
Yeah, it obviously turned out to be a great game. Bucknell had a chance to win it. I know Frank Haith, Missouri's coach, very well. He was an assistant coach here at Penn State for a period of time. And I think it just tells you about Bucknell as a basketball team that should they get to the NCAAs, they're going to be a real threat, a real threat. They can play with anybody.
That's what he said. He said it was just a great game. He really, really enjoyed watching it. He said it was phenomenal. He and my husband were in the service together, and we've remained very close friends. And they come up every once in a while, so he sort of familiar where Bucknell was, but couldn't believe that Missouri was playing them. But he said it was fantastic. He said they had a fantastic basketball team.
Well, they both do. Missouri's really, really good. Bucknell's really, really good. I'm glad they had a great time, and hopefully we can pack Soika every night to watch this exceptional basketball team on their home floor.
Thank you.
Judy, thank you for your call very much. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Hilstrup's General Store hotline. Kevin tonight has put Alabama and Notre Dame into a video game.
Yes. And Notre Dame won it 24-20.
Really? Fabulous.
Of course, I was playing Notre Dame, so that's why they won.
The key is the Golston kid tonight. If he can settle in and play well, then I think that bodes well for Notre Dame because the element of movement is needed against the Alabama defense. You need to move with all the team speed they have. You have to have a quarterback that can move. It makes a big difference. And if he can, that would be great. Alabama does not have a game-breaking wide receiver. But they, too, have a dynamic 1-2 punch at running back with power in Eddie Lacy and I'll tell you, I think the guy that if Alabama wins is going to be the difference maker is T.J. Yeldon. I am picking Notre Dame to win the game tonight. And I'll get a chance to see probably the second half.
And we have breaking news. Mike Muscala is this week's Patriot League Player of the Week.
Deserves it. Mike is really a great player. And I can say to everybody that I think he's a great player, and if Mike's listening, Mike doesn't care. All Mike cares about is winning the next game. You know, I mean, that's, you know, he's like, oh, you know, that's nice. Steve Jones said I'm a great player. That's nice. And then he goes to the next thing. Some people get caught up in that. The worst thing that anyone can do, whether it's in broadcasting or athletics or whatever, is to listen to negative things said about them. The next worst thing is to hear people on the outside say great things about you. Okay? You just need to be yourself, stay within your own world, and make it happen. Okay? You don't need people patting you on the head. Hey, you're the best. You're the greatest, right? Or you're like, oh, you stink. You're loud. You don't need that. That's why you stay away from that stuff. But Mike's just really, really good. I mean, when you go into the game and you are the number one guy in the scouting report every time, and you just keep putting out the same stuff every single time, no matter what they do, you just keep playing at your high level. It says volumes about you. Volumes.
Loves talking about his teammates, too.
That's because that's who he is. Penn State, Indiana tonight, Jordan Center. Indiana's the team. They're going to take this thing, Kevin. They're going to take the pedal. They're going to try and ram it through the floor. The speed limit means nothing to them. They will run on misses, makes, out-of-bounds plays, everything they want to run. They are a team that has really good defensive stats, but those defensive stats are a product of their offense, really. Penn State's going to have to play the game possession by possession tonight, and they're going to have to battle the daylights on the boards against this team. It's the way it is. But they're here, and hopefully the Jordan Center will be rocking tonight. You don't usually get the fifth-ranked team in the country in your building, and they're here tonight. 7 o'clock, the tip, we're on at 6:30.